Okay. My name is Nozomi Kurihara. I am a software engineer at Yahoo Japan. And I'm here today to talk about Apache Parser and its enterprise use cases. Good morning. Good morning.
Kurihara, your last name?
Yes. Well, yeah. So you inverted us for our company. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. First, please let me introduce myself briefly. My name is Nozomi Kurihara. Nozomi is the first name. Kurihara is last name. Yeah. And I'm a software engineer at Yahoo Japan. And I'm working on internal messaging platform using Apache Parser. And I'm also committer of Apache Parser. Anyway. Yahoo Japan. Sorry.
It's still called Yahoo Japan. If I go to Japan, I can see Yahoo Japan.
Sorry. Yes. A different company.
It's the same name, but it's a separate name.
Okay. Anyway, let's see today's agenda. Today we have three sections. First, what is Apache Parser? Second, why is Apache Parser useful? And third, how does Yahoo Japan use Apache Parser? Okay, let's start. First section is, what is Apache Parser? Here is the outline of this section. I will explain a few things, for example, history, users, about parser messaging, and so on. First of all, I will explain the overview of Apache Parser. Briefly speaking, Apache Parser is a flexible parser system backed by durable log storage. And Apache Parser was born in Yahoo Inc., not Yahoo Japan, but Inc. in America. And they have been developing Apache Parser since 2014. And it was open sourced in 2016, and it was moved to Apache Incubator Project in 2017. And we are very happy that just only 2 days ago, it graduated as top level project. Thank you. And there are several users, OSINC, that is Yahoo Inc. in America, and Comcast, Weather Channel, Mercado Libre, Streamlio, and Yahoo Japan. And there are several other messaging systems, in other words, our competitors. Yeah, Apache Kafka, maybe you know, and RabbitMQ, Apache ActiveMQ, Apache RocketMQ, etc. Okay, moving on to the next slide. Here, I will briefly explain PubSub messaging. I think... Sorry. Sorry. I think most of you know this well, but let me introduce briefly. PubSub messaging is message transmission from one system to another via topic. In this context, senders of messages is called producers, and receivers of messages is called the consumer. and producers publish messages to topics, and consumers receive only messages from topics to which they subscribe beforehand. And the point of this architecture is producers and consumers are decoupled. So in other words, they don't need to know each other. And that is asynchronous, scalable, and resilient system. And that's why today Python messaging is very important for recent microservices or serverless scenarios. Let's move on to the next slide. Here I will illustrate the architecture of Apache Parser. The figures show the architecture of Parser cluster. There are three components. One is broker, and second is bookie, and zookeepers. In the next three slides, I will explain them. Okay, first component is the broker. The broker is the serving node for producers and consumers' requests. It receives messages from producers and stores them to bookies, storage node, and dispatches them to consumers. Note that brokers have no data locality, so they are stateless components. The next component is the bookie. The bookie is the name of the storage node for in Apache Bookkeeper. It is another open source Apache open source software. And Apache Bookkeeper is open source distributed write-ahead log system. I omit the detail here, but it is durable, scalable, consistent, fault tolerant, and it has low latency. In Apache Parser, the role of the bookie is store messages, so just storage. The third component is the zookeeper. Apache Zookeeper is another open source tool. It stores both metadata and configurations. And there are two types of zookeepers in Apache Parser. So one is a local zookeeper, and another is configuration store. A local zookeeper stores the information within local cluster. On the other hand, configuration store stores information across all clusters. Okay, next, I will explain Parser's client libraries. You can use Java, C++, Python, and Go. And if you want to use other languages, for example, Node.js or Ruby, you can use them through WebSocket API. So as a result, you can use various languages for Parser. Okay, next I will talk about Parser's topic URI. Parser's topics are specified this format. And the first part represents persistency. So you can choose persistent or non-persistent. In persistent, messages are stored to bookies. On the other hand, in non-persistent, messages are not kept to bookies for slightly higher throughput. And the second part, so this red part, represents tenants. tenant is can be services or applications. So for example, in our company, tenants can be shopping or auction or news feeds. So our services in Yahoo Japan. Sorry. Yeah. Yes. So, first tenant is created by personal maintenance administrators, but once tenant was created, so tenant users can create namespaces and topics under the tenant. Yeah, so namespaces often represent usages, and topic names also more detailed usages. So as you can see, topic of Apache Pulsar is hierarchical. So, and that is helpful and intuitive to maintain a lot of users. Okay, next slide. Subscription. Here I will explain the concept of subscription in Apache Pulsar. So first, let me define acknowledgement. Acknowledgement is confirmation response from consumers, which implies, yes, I could receive messages successfully. And second, let me define the cursor. Cursor is information which messages are acknowledged. If you are familiar with Apache Kafka, so please imagine offset. Pulsar's cursor is corresponding to Kafka's offset. let me explain subscription. Subscription has cursor and which consumers are connecting. So for example, in this figure, there are two subscriptions, sub A and sub B. And message 1 and 2 are received and acknowledged by consumers. And message 3 and 4 are acknowledged by sub B. And in Pulsar, each message is kept unless all subscriptions acknowledge. So in this figure, message 1 and 2 are acknowledged by sub A and sub B. Persistent. And therefore, message 1 and 2 will be deleted by brokers. On the other hand, message 3 and 4 are only acknowledged by sub A, so it will be kept. Next, I'll show you a sample Java code by which you can find how simple it is to work with Apache Pulsar. So first, you can create client instance with specifying the broker's URI. After that, you create producer by specifying the topic URI. Finally, you can send messages like this. And this is consumer's example. So same as producer, you need to specify broker's URI and topic URI. And also, you should specify a subscription name and then start to subscribe. Then you can receive messages like this. And you can use any name,
any string,
yes.
But it needs to be unique compared to
The subscribers, yes.
His ID is, his subscription ID is A. Somebody else tries to subscribe with ID A. Will they get an exception or something?
Yeah.
sorry. Yeah. This is bit detailed. So.
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let me explain subscription types. So there are three types of subscription type. So type one is called exclusive. So in this subscription type, only one consumer is allowed to connect. So this is default subscription type. So in this figure, so sub A is for only consumer A, and sub B is also for consumer B. So if consumer C tries to connect to sub B, then it will be disconnected. And another type is called shared. So in this subscription, multiple consumers are allowed to connect. So, and messages are distributed to each consumer in round robin manner. So, in this example, so there is one shared subscription, and consumer A, B, C can connect to this shared subscription. And messages, so for in this figure, message 1 to 5 will be dispatched to in round robin manner. So you can choose. Okay, I'll back. So type 3. Okay. Yeah, type 3 is failover. So in this subscription, multiple consumers are allowed to connect, but only one of them receives messages. So in this figure, so consumer A, B, C can connect to this subscription, but at first, consumer A receives all messages, but if the primary consumer, here consumer A, is down, then another consumer starts to receive messages. So, for example, so after receiving message 1 and 2, consumer A is down, then consumer B promotes to B. First primary consumer, and continue to receive message 3 to 5. Yeah, there are three types, and you can choose. you can choose. Okay. Okay, go back to subscription. This is consumer sample. Okay, and next section. So far, I explained about what Apache Pulsar is, its history, architecture, and interface. Next, I will talk about why is Apache Pulsar useful. This is the agenda. First feature is the performance. So Apache Pulsar achieves high throughput and low latency, even if the number of topics is large and high durability is required. So for example, at OSINT, so there are 2.3 million topics and 100 billion messages per day. And also message loss is not acceptable and orders needs to be guaranteed. And in spite of this huge traffic and high durability requirement, the throughput is 100,000 messages per second and publish latency is less than 5 milliseconds. So this result shows Apache Pulsar's high performance. Next, scalability. So Apache Pulsar is really a scalable system. So to increase the capacity, all you have to do is just add servers. So, moreover, since the serving layer and storage layer is separated, so you can flexibly add brokers or bookies according to the data load. So, for example, if you need more serving capacity, then add brokers. Or if you need more storage capacity, so you want to store more and more data, then just add bookies. So thanks to this flexibility, you can save on cost and leverage hardware's resources more efficiently. Next, I will explain multi-tenancy of Apache Pulsar. Multi-tenancy means multiple services can share one Pulsar system. So each service and applications can just use Pulsar as a tenant, as I mentioned before. So no need to maintain own messaging systems. And you can configure authentication and authorization mechanism, which protects messages from interception by attackers. So as a result, a lot of services can work on only one Pulsar system, and then we can reduce hardware costs and labor costs. Next feature is called geo-replication. Here, geo means geographically. So suppose that there are multiple Pulsar clusters which are located on remote data centers. So for example, okay, cluster A is in Japan and cluster B is in America. So Pulsar can replicate messages to another remote clusters. First, producers only have to publish messages to Pulsar in the same data center. So, for example, in this figure in Japan. And then Pulsar asynchronously replicates messages to another cluster. And then consumers in remote clusters can receive messages from the same data center. Sorry. Acknowledgement is not synchronized across data centers. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the next. Parser functions. Parser function is a lightweight compute framework like AWS Lambda, Google Cloud Functions. And no need to launch extra systems like Apache Heron, Apache Storm, and Apache Spark, etc. And just implement your logic and deploy it to Parser cluster. And Java and Python is now available, and other languages such as Go will be supported in the future. Okay, next slide. Does anybody use Kubernetes? Oh, okay. Then I've got good news for you. So, yeah, Parser can be easily deployed and work on Kubernetes cluster, such as AWS or Google Kubernetes Engine. So, for example, this screenshot shows that Parser is working on GKE. Sorry for Japanese. Sorry, I omit the detail here, but please see this official document to deploy on Kubernetes clusters. Okay, let's move on to the next slide. Here I compare Apache Parser with Apache Kafka. Although there are some differences, the main difference between Parser and Kafka is data distribution. So, Parser can keep data in better balanced manner than Kafka. So, let me explain the detail. So, let us consider the case where number of partitions is 1 and number of storage servers is 3 and number of replication factors is 2. So with Kafka, all data in the partition is kept by one reader broker and replicated to replica brokers. And they will be replicated to replica brokers. So in this figure, broker 2 is reader, broker 1 is replica, and broker 3 doesn't have any data for this topic in this figure. So since all data in one partition is held by one broker, the capacity of partition is the capacity of partition is limited by the capacity of one broker. And when adding brokers, data rebalancing is needed. Otherwise, the data distribution could be imbalanced. On the other hand, with Parser, data in some partition is divided into smaller units called segments. And they will be evenly distributed and balanced across all bookkeys. And thus, the capacity is not limited by single bookkey node. Moreover, data rebalancing is not needed when adding bookkeys. As a result, Parser is more flexible and easier to scale than Kafka. Okay. I'd like to mention briefly Open Messaging Benchmark. Open Messaging Benchmark is a suite of tools that can easily compare various messaging systems. So if you are interested, please see this URL for more information. And recently, one interesting result has been reported. So they found Apache Pulsar achieved better throughput and latency than Kafka in their performance test. Okay, let me move on to the final section. How does Yahoo Japan use its Apache Pulsar? This is the outline of this section. First, I will explain the situation in Yahoo Japan. So Yahoo Japan is one of the biggest portal sites in Japan. This is the top page of Yahoo Japan. Have you ever seen before? No? First, I will show the number which represents how big Yahoo Japan is. Okay, we've got three numbers. What are they? Do you think any idea?
the right one is access.
Accesses. Good. Okay, I'll tell you. The first one is the number of services Yahoo Japan provides. So, auction, news, shopping, sports, or whatever. And that number keeps growing. And the second one is the number of servers. And note that they are real servers, not virtual servers. And the third number is page views per month. This is an average value in 2017. So as you can see, Yahoo Japan is a huge site. So why Yahoo Japan chose Pulsar? So because there are several requirements. First, there is a large number of users. So we need to handle a large amount of messages and an ever-increasing number of users. Then, high performance and scalability is required. Second, there are 100-plus services. So in this situation, providing each service-specific messaging platform is very expensive. So then, multi-tenancy is important for us. Third, messages can be sometimes sensitive or mission critical. So then durability is required. And lastly, there are multiple data centers in Yahoo Japan. So geo-replication is required. So we need to deal with all these requirements. So, but don't worry. Fortunately, Apache Pulsar meets all these requirements. Then we decided to adopt Apache Pulsar as our internal messaging platform. We are using TLS and authentication and authorization mechanism. Okay. This is a simple illustration of system architecture in Yahoo Japan. We have two clusters. One is located in west and another is east. So in each cluster, we have brokers, bookies, zookeepers, and also WebSocket proxies. And we can collect all metrics to Prometheus and visualize them by Grafana to monitor servers. So this is an example of monitoring by Prometheus and Grafana. So you can see the number of topics, producers, and consumers, and etc. Next, we have tool to create tenant and namespaces. We provide an internal tool to manage tenants, namespaces, and topics. So through UI, users can create tenant namespace and configure their settings by themselves. And users can see topic stats, for example, average message size, throughput, and subscriptions. Sorry for Japanese and hard to see, but so we have internal user interface, and users can create namespaces, tenant, and see topic stats. Okay, then let me show use cases in Yahoo Japan. The first example is notification of contents update. The situation is that various contents files are uploaded to Yahoo Japan by partner companies. So, for example, partner companies publishes weather data, map data, or news articles, etc. And services want to know the update of these contents files. So, first, services subscribe specific parser's topic. And when contents are updated, a notification message is sent to the topic. Then services receive a notification. And then they fetch the contents files from file server. So like this, you can use Apache Parser as notification transferring. Case two. The second use case is job queuing in Yahoo Mail. What we want to do is indexing of mails. And the problem is it can be heavy sometimes. So we want to do it asynchronously. So first, if a mail backend server receives a job request, and it registers the job to parser's topic. And another mail backend server, takes the job from the topic and process it. And if the job fails, the job will be re-registered to topic. Like this, you can use Apache Parser as a synchronous job queuing system. But not using Parser function, just queuing. And case three is Parser function, filtering. This is under development. So, in Yahoo Japan, almost services, service applications are running on PaaS platform as a service like Heroku, and CaaS container as a service like Kubernetes. And we want to collect application logs on these platforms. And first, these logs are published to this topic, and then then they will be filtered by using parser functions. And finally, they will publish to more detailed topic and send to other database or platforms such as HBase, Prometheus, or Twilio, etc. Thus, we are planning this huge log collecting and transferring architecture. Okay, case four. Last use case. Next, I will explain a story of migration from Apache Kafka and how easy it was. So we have an internal FaaS system, function as a service system, using Apache OpenWhisk. I omit the detail of it, but we are using this open source software. And Apache OpenWhisk is composed of some components, including Apache Kafka here. And so the problem is how to maintain Apache Kafka also. And then they wanted to reduce their maintenance cost. So they decided to migrate from Kafka to our internal centralized parser. And the migration is done by using parser Kafka wrapper, which is compatible with Kafka client. And note that they didn't need any code changes except configuration for migration. And therefore, the migration was done very, very quickly, within a month or weeks. So if you are considering migration from Kafka to parser, then let's use parser Kafka wrapper. We are maintaining our internal OpenWhisk system, and
OpenWhisk is based on Kafka, right?
Yes.
And that's what you change to OpenWhisk composer.
Yes.
Okay. With a wrapper, right?
Wrapper, yes.
Is that just for the kingdom?
Yep. We migrated OpenWhisk's Kafka to our internal parser by using wrapper, and this wrapper.
Oh, so that's still there.
Yeah. Okay. Conclusion. In conclusion, Apache Parser is the first durable and scalable pub-sub messaging system, and also it has useful and easy-to-use built-in features like geo-replication, parser functions, etc. And I also introduced Yahoo Japan's use cases. And documents are here. And if you you can contact to the parser community by using Slack or emails. Okay, my talk is finished. Thank you for your time and interest. Other questions?
I was going to clap.